encourage you to take your Bibles out now. And let's go to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter number 16. If you find your place in your Bibles in the back, I believe we have a couple more sermon outlines. If you didn't know to grab one of those or just didn't get one, you'd like one, if you'd raise your hand, we'll have our usher bring those to you. Just raise it up nice and high. Just enough for them to see you, they'll bring it to you. And we'd be glad to get that to you. If you need one of those today, you can get one of those on the way in. Matthew chapter number 16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm excited to dig into what the Lord has for us from the Scriptures today. And we're going to preach today a warning about leaven. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture that the Bible gives to us today. A very interesting account from the life of Jesus Christ. Now, many of you will remember the eruption of Mount St. Helens in May of 1980. I don't remember it. I was not alive yet, okay? But some of you will remember it. Those of you that remember it, and of course, reading back on it, understand that it didn't come out of nowhere. For many, many months leading up to that eruption, there were earthquakes and volcanic activity that signaled that it was coming. So much so that the authorities warned the residents surrounding Mount St. Helens that this eruption was no doubt coming. But in spite of all the warnings that people received weeks and months in advance, there were still some who just refused to heed the warning signs. And probably the most prominent among those people was a guy named Harry Randall Truman. How many of you guys heard of this guy before? Well, you just heard about him now, amen? Harry Randall Truman was 83 years old. He was the owner and caretaker of the Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. And this old boy had served in World War I, and his ship had been shot by a German submarine and sank, and he survived it. So you better believe he wasn't going to be scared away by what the experts were saying, no matter what they had to say. And so it happened on May 18th of 1980, in spite of all the warnings, it did erupt. And Harry Truman was submerged in a ton of mud and debris from the eruption that took place. They never found his body. And that's a sad story. But I start with that story to make a simple point as we begin this study of the Scripture. That is this. It is foolish and dangerous to hear warning signs, and to think that you will be the exception. That it could not possibly happen to you. It'll happen to somebody else, but it could not possibly happen to you. In the passage of Scripture that's in front of us today, Jesus gives a warning. And I don't want you to make the foolish and dangerous choice to think that you are the exception. That this warning is for someone else and not for you. And as we'll see in the Scripture, the warning that Jesus gives to us here is a warning about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We'll talk about that more as we go through the message today. But let's lay some context to understand what we're getting into. Jesus had, in his ministry, just come back from ministering to the Gentiles. We just saw how he ministered to the 4,000 and at the feeding of the 4,000 this past week. And at the end of Matthew chapter 15, the Bible indicates that he had sailed back across the Sea of Galilee to a place called Magdala. In Mark's account, he calls the place that Jesus came to Dalmathuna. And really, throughout history, there's been a lot of debate about some of these particular details that the Bible mentions. But what the Bible makes very clear is that Jesus came to this particular region. And I thought this was interesting. For years, archaeologists had no idea where these cities were or if they even ever existed. But recent archaeological discoveries have unearthed two different cities very close to each other. In fact, they're 500 feet away from each other that they believe are this Magdala and Dalmutha, I should say. And so it's always incredible to me seeing how a lot of times people want to criticize the Bible and say, see, that it couldn't be true because we can't find scientific or archaeological fact to back up the Bible. But every single time, the Bible proves itself to be true. And so here are these two cities, and right in this proximity is where this particular event in history, the history of the Scripture, took place. But much more significant than where this event took place is what took place in this particular incident. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse number 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Bible says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him, Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, or cloudy, we could say, covered with clouds. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? The wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." We see in this account that as soon as Jesus got back on Jewish shore, in the land of Israel, he was immediately confronted with the religious leaders who had opposed themselves to his ministry. And after this encounter with these religious leaders, these Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus gives his disciples a very stern warning about the leaven of these Pharisees. So what is leaven? We're going to be talking a lot about this leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What is leaven? I'm not a scientist, and I'm not brilliant when it comes to these things, but I do understand that leaven, or we might call it yeast today, is that small ingredient that you'll put into bread that makes it begin to rise. When you place it into a thing of dough, it begins to ferment, or we could say infect it, and really change it and expand it into something that it wasn't before. Now, I've asked my wife to help me with this today. She put together some dough for me, and she just put in a little bit of leaven or yeast into this dough. Let's see if I can do this without breaking something. Amen? I'm going to put it on this thing for us here. Now, to be honest, when she brought it up here, it's about half full. And you know what happens. Some of you like to bake bread. I'm not one of you. You wouldn't want to eat the bread that I baked, okay? But I want you to watch the impact of this leaven in some dough. You just place this small ingredient into a big batch of dough that begins to spread throughout the whole thing and infect it and cause it to grow and become something different than what it was before. I want you to understand the spiritual connection here. Because in much the same way, the Pharisaical leaven acts as a small influence that infects a person's heart spiritually and then spreads until it corrupts his entire life. And this leaven can so easily enter into your heart. And that's why Jesus gave us such a stern warning about it. So I ask you this morning, has your heart been contaminated with the infectious leaven that Jesus warns us about in the Scripture? Before you say no, let's hear what the Bible teaches us about this. There are three words of warning that Jesus gives us about this leaven. Before we dig into them, why don't we bow our heads and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, we come before you this morning. We're grateful for the opportunity to open your word. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would set me aside, that use me as a vessel to communicate the truth of your word. God, I need power to preach your word today. This is a heavy truth, an important truth, a life-transforming truth if we will hear it. And I pray, God, that you would use this truth to impact all of our lives. And I pray that you'd have free reign and to expose what's really going on in the heart of every person in this room and give us a willingness to respond as you lead us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
three words of warning about this leaven. The first one thing I want you to note down this morning, I want you to note down the ingredients. Let's talk about the ingredients of this leaven. Now, this encounter Jesus had with these religious leaders, the ingredients of this evil or Pharisaical leaven was exposed in their hearts. We've already read the account, but I want you to see the first ingredient that was exposed about this leaven is that that there is skepticism. The first ingredient is skepticism. If you look with me in verse number 1, the Bible says that the Pharisees also with who?
The Sadducees.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. These two groups were opposite groups, opposite sects in the religious realm of that day. They were opposite groups in Judaism. They were opposed to each other in almost every way that you could think of. All right? The closest comparison that I could give to you today probably would be Republicans and Democrats on the political scale. Okay? But on the religious scale, I'm not quite sure. Maybe Baptists and Catholics. Maybe that would be the opposite spectrum there. But the Pharisees, they were the conservative ritualists who had adhered religiously to the rabbinic traditions and revered their traditions even above Scripture itself. We talked about them several weeks ago. On the other hand, the Sadducees were the liberal rationalists. They cared nothing about tradition. They made a front claim to say they believed the Scripture, but really they only believed Scripture so far as it gave them influence or power or favor. And the Sadducees were the ones who were primarily the ones that held office among the Jewish people. And they used religion to gain themselves power and prestige. So these groups despised each other. These groups were opposed generally in every way that you could imagine. And yet these two religious groups of Judaism that normally opposed each other found a common enemy in Jesus Christ. You've heard it said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that is exactly what was happening here. And isn't it interesting that all false doctrine, all false religion, ultimately finds its biggest opponent in Jesus Christ and in the truth of God's Word. And so these vastly different groups united in their skepticism of Jesus. And I want you to see their skepticism as it's demonstrated in the Scripture. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Their skepticism is seen in the demand they made of Jesus. They came to Jesus and said, prove yourself to us. Now, can you imagine saying something like that to Jesus? After all Jesus had already done, it wasn't enough. They said, prove yourself to us. And Jesus had already done many miracles up to this point, but what they asked Jesus to do was something different. Notice what they said in verse 1. They said, show us a sign from where? They wanted Jesus to do a miracle in the heavens. That's literally what they were asking for him to do. They wanted him to perform a miracle in the sky. One person noted that popular Jewish superstition held that demons could perform earthly miracles, but that only God could perform heavenly miracles. They said, if you're real, then you need to do something in the sky. You need to do something in the heavens to prove that you really are who you claim to be. Now, throughout Jewish history, they'd seen many of their prophets be enabled by God to do miracles in the sky. Moses called down manna from heaven. Elijah called down fire from heaven. Joshua spoke a word and the sun stood still in the heavens. And we could go on down the line. Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind into the heavens. And so they were thinking, do something like that, Jesus. Give us a sign in the heavens to prove to us that you are who you claim to be. It's interesting to me that many people today essentially do the exact same thing when it comes to faith in Jesus. They demand for God to do something to prove to them that He really is who the Bible says He is. Let me just say this frankly. God has nothing to prove to you. God has done everything that's necessary to make known to every single one of us exactly who He is. In your notes, you'll notice Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20 says that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what?
Excuse.
You will not have an excuse when it comes to the end. To say, well, I didn't know there was a God. God has made himself clearly known to the world. No man, woman, boy, or girl that lives on this earth has any excuse. So we see the first clear ingredient to this Pharisaical leaven is this skepticism. We could put it this way. It's this doubt of Jesus. It's doubting Jesus. That's the first element of this skepticism. So I wonder, listen to me. Has Satan, like we're starting to roll out here a little bit. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, all right? If it gets out of hand, then, has Satan planted this little leaven of doubt in your heart? You doubt the Bible. You doubt the truth about Jesus Christ. It's so subtle, and it seems so small, but it can grow and expand and impact your entire life if you're not careful. The first ingredient is this skepticism. The second ingredient I want you to note down is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Now, interestingly, in response to this ridiculous demand, I want you to notice what Jesus said back to these Pharisees and Sadducees in verse 2. The Bible says, he answering said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, or covered with clouds. No, you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Now Jesus, in Mark's account of this same story, he shows Jesus' emotion because he says that as Jesus said this, he sighed deeply in his spirit. It grieved Jesus' heart that he talked to these people and he tried to present himself to these people and given more than enough evidence to demonstrate who he was and what he was here for. And yet they still did not want to believe in him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit as he began to speak these words to them. And yet in spite of all that he'd done, he was grieved by the facade of their heart. They were still fake. They were still phony. They came to Jesus acting like they wanted to believe, but in their heart of hearts, they weren't going to believe no matter what Jesus did. So Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of their heart. Since they wanted a sign in the sky, Jesus pointed them to the sky. And he said, you want a sign in the sky? Listen, you can look up in the sky and you can tell me whether or not it's going to be good weather today. If it's red in the morning time, you know there's going to be bad weather. And if it's red in the evening time, you know it's probably going to be good weather the next day. By the way, that's something that's been true, especially in that part of the country where the Bible was written, down through the ages. There's an old mariner's ditty. It goes like this. It says, red sky at night, sailor's delight. And red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. And this has been something that's been true down through the history of the world. But Jesus said, you can see that. You can look at the physical signs and interpret what the weather's going to be. And yet you look all around you and see the spiritual signs of who I am and what I'm doing. And you're still unwilling to accept that I am who I say I am. Jesus had healed the sick. He'd raised the dead and so many other things in direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy. But these scoffers, these scribes and Pharisees acted like they couldn't even see it. And so Jesus called them what they were. He pointed the finger at them. He said, you hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite means? It means a pretender. It means to be an actor. And that's exactly what these people were doing. Outwardly, they acted in front of the people like they wanted to believe in Jesus, but inwardly, they had no intention of doing so, no matter what Jesus did. We see this second ingredient of hypocrisy being manifest about this leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. It's one of the most distinct ingredients of this Pharisaical leaven, the hypocrisy in the human heart. By the way, listen to me. Churches today are filled with people who claim to be Christians, who claim to believe in Jesus, but in the heart of hearts, they most certainly don't. By the way, God warned us in the New Testament that such a day was going to come as the day that we're living in today. Look in your notes at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice this, speaking lies in what?
Hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Listen, you can fool everybody else, but you're not fooling Jesus today. He knows what's going on in your heart of hearts. Have you ever heard the term, face the music, before? I was interested to know where those kinds of phrases come from. And it's said that it comes from this particular story. Years ago, there was a very wealthy and influential man who wanted to play in the Imperial Orchestra. And so he knew the conductor and he had some sway. The only problem was he couldn't actually play any instruments. So he came to the conductor and threatened the conductor with his power and influence. And the conductor agreed to allow him to play on the second row a flute in the Imperial Orchestra. And so he did, and he'd get up there every time they performed, especially in front of the king. And he would just get up there and put that flute up and just act like he was playing away on the thing, but wasn't ever making a sound. This went on for 2 years. After 2 years, the conductor of that orchestra was replaced with a new man. And one of his requirements as he came into authority was that he required every single person in the orchestra to audition, to make sure that they could perform up to his standards. And one by one, he began to audition every single member of this orchestra until he came down to the last man, this man, who was faking the whole time. Wouldn't you know, the day he was supposed to audition, he acted like he got really sick. He was hoping everything was going to go by, so the conductor had a doctor come in and examine him and determine him to be perfectly healthy. He made him sit down in front of him after that and face the music. And as he faced the music, he had to expose the reality that he couldn't play the flute. And he was dismissed from the orchestra. Isn't it interesting that churches are filled with people who do the exact same thing? We come, we sing the songs, we serve, we read our Bibles, we do everything that we're supposed to do to look like a good Christian, but in our heart of hearts, you know that you're not. You can be a hypocrite. You can be a pretender, but God knows where you're actually at. And could it be that some of this leaven, which one of the ingredients of is hypocrisy, is infecting your life today? You see, the first ingredient is skepticism. The second ingredient is hypocrisy. The third ingredient I want you to note down is unbelief. Unbelief. These people that Jesus confronted on this day would not believe that Jesus was who he said he was because they had chosen not to. They had made a choice. They weren't going to believe in Jesus. And Jesus exposes why in verse 4. Look at verse 4 with me if you would. In verse 4, the Bible says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You know the reason why they wouldn't believe? Ultimately, it was because of the evil that was within their own hearts. The sad condition of their hearts was ultimately why they wouldn't believe. Jesus said that they were a wicked, that is a bad-natured generation. Then he said they were an adulterous generation. But this adultery is not physical adultery, it's spiritual adultery. It's speaking of idolatry, or of a person putting anything else in their life over God. Right? These individuals that Jesus was rebuking here had made the choice, in other words, to believe in something other than Jesus, to worship something other than Jesus, and Jesus called them out on it. And he was not going to put up with their wicked hearts and with their phony reasons for coming to him. So as we go on in verse 4, notice what Jesus goes on to say. He says, you're seeking after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto your generation, but the sign of the prophet who?
Jonas.
Now it's talking about Jonah from the Old Testament. Now Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 had already made very clear to us what the sign of the prophet Jonas is. If you look in your notes, or you can look in your Bible, whichever you prefer, Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. Notice what Jesus said here. He said, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You know what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about the gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 says. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Jesus looked at these people who were hypocritically saying, we want to believe in you if you'll just prove yourself to us. And Jesus looked at them and said, I'm not going to give you anything but the gospel. Listen, the gospel is the only sign, is the only proof that a lost soul needs in order to come to genuine faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And sometimes I've had people say, well, why doesn't God just do some big miracle or show himself in the sky? Because surely if God would do that, then everybody would believe. Listen, if a person will not believe the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, they would not believe even if some miracle is done. Because the decision to put your faith in Christ is, in fact, a decision of faith in the Word of God and not of outward circumstance. So Jesus said, I'm only going to give you the gospel. If you won't believe the gospel, you won't believe anything else, even if I tried to do it. And so we see another ingredient of this Pharisaical leaven is this willful unbelief. This willful unbelief. A person whose heart has been infected with this Pharisaical leaven will refuse to believe the truth even when it is clearly presented to them. So we have these three ingredients. Skepticism, or doubting the Lord Jesus. Hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you aren't. And this willful unbelief. This is the leaven that Jesus warns us about in the Scripture. The sad truth, I want you to see at the end of verse number 4, what Jesus does with people who have been inflicted with this kind of leaven in their hearts. The end of verse 4, it says, he left them and departed. So after encountering these men with this evil leaven in their heart, the Bible says that Jesus just left. The phrase left them, it literally indicates leaving someone behind or leaving someone to themselves. The truth of the matter is, if a person willfully rejects the Lord and wants to put on the facade of Christianity but is unwilling to accept the sincere reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them, the person who persists in doubt of the Lord Jesus and will not come to genuinely trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, that type of person is a person that the Lord is not going to be able to help. They have made a decision to reject him. The most dangerous aspect of this spiritual leaven is that if it is not dealt with, it can separate you from the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus gave us such a severe warning about this leaven. So I ask you, do you see the ingredients of this leaven at work in your heart? Have you been struggling with doubt of the things of the Lord? Have you been struggling with hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you're not? And have you been struggling with this willful unbelief? You know what the Bible says. You know what the truth is. But you continue to ignore it and act like it doesn't matter. God knows your heart. So he warns us about the ingredients. Now, I took a lot of time to talk about the ingredients. We're going to take a little less time to talk about these other two things, but they build on each other. And so I want you to see the second warning that the Lord gives us, and that is the influence. First, he warns us about the ingredients of this leaven. Then he warns us about the influence of it. And as the story continues, we see the influence of this leaven on display in the life of the disciples. So let's read about it. You're still with me. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's look at verse number 5. Verse 5, the Bible says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And interestingly, they'd just come from the feeding of the 4,000. Where did all those 7 baskets they had left over go to? I don't know if they gave it away or they just forgot it because they left in a hurry. But the Bible tells us that they got back in a boat, they crossed the Sea of Galilee and went up to a region known as Bethsaida. And while they were on the way there, Jesus, his heart was so burdened after this exchange that they had just had with these religious leaders, and he tried to teach his disciples a spiritual truth. The problem was, the disciples weren't thinking spiritually. They were focused on physical things. Notice what the Bible says in verse 6. It says, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The Bible says that they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They completely missed it. The Bible says that Jesus is trying to teach them a spiritual truth, and they start reasoning among themselves. Instead of asking Jesus what he meant, they start debating among themselves what Jesus could have been talking about. And they concluded that Jesus said that because they had forgotten to take enough bread for themselves to eat. And it is interesting to see the impact of the Pharisaical leaven being demonstrated in the life of these disciples. We can see it very clearly. Remember, this leaven is made up of skepticism. And here are these disciples. They're doubting Jesus. They're doubting what Jesus meant. They're doubting that Jesus can take care of their deficiency. They didn't bring enough bread. This leaven is composed of hypocrisy. Here they are. They're worried about Jesus seeing them without bringing enough bread. They're worried about outward appearance. And then we see that this leaven is made up of unbelief. The bottom line is, they didn't trust Jesus. They were worried that they weren't going to have enough food to eat, and their focus was entirely on the outward, and it wasn't on the inward. Their focus was entirely on the physical, and not at all on the spiritual in this circumstance. So, to put it frankly, the disciples were thinking like the world here. They were not thinking on a spiritual level. They were thinking on a physical level. What we begin to see is the influence of the leaven of the Pharisees taking root within their hearts. It's an interesting thing that we see taking place. Go to verse number 8 in your Bibles. Matthew 16, verse 8. The Bible goes on to say that when Jesus perceived, when he realized what was going on in their hearts, what they were debating about, he said unto them, read the next words out loud with me, "O ye of little faith." That literally means, "Oh, you who trust me too little." And that's what he goes on to say. "Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up?" Help me out, church. How many baskets did they take up after the feeding of the 5,000? 12 baskets. Listen, there was enough bread for all those people and to spare. And he goes back in verse 10 and says, "Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets took ye up?" How many baskets did they take up after the feeding of the 4,000? 7 big old baskets. Listen, the point is, Jesus had always been enough. Jesus had always been enough and more to supply for all of their needs in the past. Why wouldn't he be now? And so he comes back in verse 11 and says, "How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" And Jesus here exposes the hypocrisy and the unbelief and the skepticism that was existing in their own hearts. They weren't willing to trust Jesus with their circumstance. And they continued to focus on the wrong thing and not get the deeper spiritual truth that the Lord was trying to convey to them. And in this we see the devastating influence of this Pharisaical leaven. I want you to listen to me. Leaven is such a small thing, and it has such a subtle impact. When leaven is planted into a little bit of dough, it doesn't happen very quickly. It happens subtly, but it happens expansively. It begins to spread and ferment throughout all of that dough and cause it to rise. But what I wonder is if in your life today, you've allowed some of this leaven of hypocrisy or unbelief or doubt to be planted in your heart, and it's beginning to rise ever so slowly and permeate and infect your entire life. And really, it's bringing you to a place that you don't want to be. Jesus warns us about this for a reason, because it's something that is a danger for every single one of us. Now, I can't answer it for your own spirit today, but what I can say is, don't neglect to heed the warning that the Lord is giving to us in the Scripture about this dangerous Pharisaical leaven. Have you been infected with it? See, like the Pharisees, if you've been infected with this leaven of the Pharisees, You will try to ritualize your relationship with God. This is what the Pharisees did. They were all about the ritual. They were all about the letter of the law. And they had ritualized their relationship to God to where they really didn't have a relationship with God. They found their identity in their practicing of the ritual. This is the danger that we can fall into as believers too. And certainly for people who are unbelievers. There are many people who walk into church, they recant all the words that they're told to recant. They sing all the songs that they're told to sing. They do all the things that they're told to do, but they don't actually know God. They don't actually believe in Christ. There's no real relationship there. It's all ritual. And that's the danger of this leaven rising up in your heart. You can live your whole life being a Christian pretender, acting like you're a believer, when in your heart of hearts, you don't really believe. And that's what happened for these Pharisees, and it can happen for any one of us as well. On the other side, there's a Pharisee of the leaven of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a little bit different. Remember, they didn't actually believe in the law. They just wanted to use religion to benefit themselves, to give themselves power or position. And like the Sadducees, you can try to rationalize your relationship with God. That's what the Sadducees did. And people who struggle with the leaven of the Sadducees tend to do the exact same thing. And here is how you see that impact your own life. Modern Christians tend to struggle with this same thing. In trying to figure things out for yourself, you stop trusting God. You try to rationalize everything. You try to justify everything that you want to do. And it really doesn't matter what the Bible says. You'll always find another excuse to do what you want to do. You'll try to spiritualize it and justify it to get away with it. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. You have the liberal Sadducees. You have the very ritualistic Pharisees. Let me tell you, both sides of the ditch are wrong. And Jesus exposes both sides. We need to be careful that our hearts are not being infected with this kind of thing. You need to watch your influence. What Jesus was really warning about here was the influence of these kinds of thinking, of this kind of thinking, the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now the Bible tells us something. I want you to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." In other words, if you run with bad company, it will corrupt you. If you allow this kind of influence in your life, ever so subtly and expansively, it will corrupt your life. If I were to put on a pair of white gloves today and go outside and pick up some mud with my white gloves, rub that mud around, what's going to happen? Let me ask you, is the mud going to get glovy? Well, I've never seen glovy mud before, okay? I'll tell you what will happen is my gloves will get muddy. If you allow this influence in your life, you can try to ignore it, you can try to act like it's not there, but if you continue to allow this influence in your life, it will continue to contaminate your life. So what's the answer? The only thing you can do is admit that it's in your life and allow God to eradicate it. That's really all you can do. Repent of allowing this sinful ideology, this wrong mindset in your life before it completely overcomes you and ruins your life. That's why Jesus warns us about this, because it has such an evil impact. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Friend, I'm here to tell you today, the Lord gives us these warnings for a reason, because this is a reality, a danger that all of us will face. He warns us about the ingredients of this leaven. He warns us about the influence of this leaven. I wonder if it's influencing your life today. But the final warning he gives is the instruction. I want you to see finally this morning, the instruction. Verse 12 in our text. Verse 12, notice, the Bible says, Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Thank God, in the end, the Lord's true disciples, they got the message. Loud and clear. They finally connected with what Jesus was trying to tell them. Jesus was not concerned with the physical. He was concerned with the spiritual. He was not concerned with the outward, but he was concerned with the inward reality of what was going on in their hearts. And he was warning them about the doctrine or the teaching or the wrong thinking of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew Henry noted that the danger was not in their bread, but in their principles. It was ultimately what they believed, how they thought about the things of God. That was what was dangerous. And he would not have his disciples get caught up in this evil way of thinking, and so he warned them. Now before we're done, once you go back to the first warning Jesus, let's go back to the first warning Jesus gave them in verse 6. Notice exactly what he warned us to do about this kind of thinking. In verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, and let's read the rest of it out loud together. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Two words of instruction that Jesus gave us about how to deal with this leaven. First off, if you're taking notes, he said to be watchful. He said, take heed in verse 6. Literally speaks of being watchful. Jesus warns us as his disciples to open our eyes and watch out for it. Watch out for this pervading influence beginning to take root in your heart. The word take heed, it means to see something clearly or to take notice of something distinctly. And here's the problem. If you get your focus off of what's going on in your heart of hearts, it's very easy for you to miss the subtle influence of something like this beginning to take root in your life. Now, psychologists refer to this human phenomenon as inattentional blindness. I kind of chuckle at that because I think a lot of guys will understand, a lot of wives will understand as well, that we struggle with inattentional hearing, okay? It's not that we don't hear, we only hear what we want to hear, okay? We also have inattentional blindness. That is a failure to perceive things that are right before our eyes. It's kind of a sort of misinformation by omission. I don't have time to give the whole story, but one article I read mentioned a guy who lived in Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia for 2 years without anybody noticing him. He lived there for 2 years because he found an abandoned concession station, and he just put up a wall of boxes right beside the door. And people would open the door, and they'd see the wall of boxes, and they'd close the door. And after 2 years, you know somebody noticed what was going on. But see, people only saw what they want to see. That's inattentional blindness. A lot of times what we do in our life is we put a wall up in a certain area. We're allowing things to go in a direction we know is not pleasing to God. Whenever our conscience opens that door, we just willfully choose, I'm not going to see that. I'm going to act like I didn't see that. That's the danger that can take place in our life. That's why Jesus said, watch out! Keep your eyes open. This influence can be so subtle in your life. And Christian, God, Jesus is warning us before it takes root and before it really begins to permeate and corrupt your life, you need to open your eyes and let God show you that it is taking place. I like the prayer the psalmist prayed in Psalm chapter 139 and verse 23. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see. Show me if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that to the Lord? See, a lot of times we don't like to pray prayers like that because we know that if we go there, what God's going to show us. We don't want to see it. That's why Jesus says, be watchful. The second word of warning he gives us here is to be wary. To be wary. He says in verse number 6, take heed and beware. And again in verse 12, he repeats the warning, beware. Jesus warns us as his disciples to watch your step, lest you fall into this trap. That's what the word beware, prosecco, means. It means to be careful or to be cautious of your steps. All through our lives, there are seeds of this leaven trying to be planted into our hearts.
Even yesterday, one of our people sent me a little text message to show me that someone from a very false religion had tried to stop by and plant a seed of this leaven in their heart. The devil's so subtle with how he does these things. And so what God calls us to do as the church is to be careful about your step. Watch out for the traps that the enemy is trying to plant to trip you up and to cause you to be corrupted by this line of thinking. Look in your notes at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beware. So easy to be ensnared by these things. I told you from the beginning that it'd be foolish, after you were warned about something, to ignore it or to act like it couldn't happen to you. Jesus has given us a very clear warning in the scripture about this Pharisaical leaven. Don't miss the warning. And if God has convicted your heart about some area of your life where you've allowed it to take root, it's time to allow God to eradicate it. It's time to admit it. I've been a hypocrite. I've been a doubter. I've been willfully unwilling to believe the truth of God's word that's right in front of me. Today, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sinfulness. You need to turn from that wrong line of thinking. Get your heart right with the Lord and come with sincerity and allow that leaven to be eradicated out of your life. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus can remove that leaven from your heart. And the reason he can do that is because he died on a cross to pay for your sin. And he was buried and he rose again and he's alive today. The Bible says that he is able to save anyone who comes to God by him. You better believe Jesus can help you today if you'd be willing to come and let him do so.